stillness. Take your time.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. How you guys doing today? Good. I am so excited to be here. I was just with your Brooklyn campus just a few minutes ago, and I'm so happy to be here. I'm so excited about what the Lord is going to do. Thank you to Andy and Paul, you guys, and Cody and Ashley. You guys are an amazing plant, church plant. Can we give it up for them? Being a first-generation preacher, I'm new to a lot of the ministry world. I've been preaching for about 7 years or so. You can be seated. I've been preaching for about 7 years or so. So it's hard at times to find really, really good, pure-hearted people that only want the best for you, that don't want to take from you, but just want to pour out into you. And you guys have that in your leaders. So just please pray for them, cover them, encourage them. Figure out how you can add to their lives because they're pouring out so much. So let's go ahead before the Lord in prayer. I'm going to move this. I move a lot, and I'll probably hit it. So I'm just going to move it a little bit. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just welcome you into this place. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you to move and to arrange and to rearrange the schedule today. It is all about you, and it's all for you. It's not about personality. It's about giving glory to your name. So I thank you, Lord, for the hearts of those people that are in this place. If anybody has a hardened heart towards you right now, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're softening it right now. I pray that if anybody has brought care in this place, that they're letting go of their care. They will not meditate on their problems this whole sermon. But instead, God, they're going to give their care to you. They're going to walk by faith and not by sight. They're going to seek you early in the morning. They're going to be obedient to you privately and publicly. They're going to choose you in those hard moments. This church will not be lukewarm in the name of Jesus. We will be a church that's on fire for you, God. So I thank you for a bold church that's hungry for you, that's hungry for righteousness, that's hungry for holiness. So I just thank you, Lord, for this time. I declare you just speak through me, God. I'm just a vessel. Whatever you want me to say, I'm yielded to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today we're talking about the battle is not yours. The battle is not yours. It's so ironic. I literally used to work on Wall Street, which is like around the corner. It's amazing how God can bring you full circle when you're obedient to him. Amen. Amen. All right. Has anybody ever been in a battle? Yeah. Maybe you had a loss. Maybe you had a loss in a family or maybe you had a miscarriage, or maybe you were at a job and you got fired all of a sudden. Maybe you were in a relationship for a while and your heart just got broken. Maybe you had this battle that you were coming up face to face. And I realize what happens in a battle, the enemy comes to attack you even harder when you're in a battle. We know from 1 Peter 5 and 8 that the enemy roars around like a lion, looking for somebody to destroy. And if we know what a lion does, a lion doesn't chase after the strong animals. The lion's chasing after those that are weak. He's going after those that are sick, broken, crippled. And then when you go through a test and trial, you feel crippled. You feel slowed down. It just seems like, oh my gosh, I'm in the middle of this test. It's so hard. I don't know what to do, God. And that's when the enemy roars around looking to destroy you. So today, I want to ask you, what are you doing in the midst of an attack? What are you doing? Are you running to social media to share all your problems with your 654 Facebook friends? Are you running to Twitter to subtweet about your friend that you don't like anymore? Are you going to church but causing division in your church against your pastor because you don't like what your pastor said? What are you doing in the midst of a battle? So we're gonna attack that today, and we're gonna do what the word says concerning battles from this day forward. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 20. I'm gonna bring this up a little higher. I got heels on today. I love this story of Jehoshaphat. I think it's a great example of what to do in the midst of a test. 2 Chronicles 20. After this, the armies of the Moabites, Amorites, and some of the Ammonites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you and beyond the Dead Sea. Could you imagine the news that he got? Have you ever got some bad news in your life? It just seems like you're just skipping along and everything is great, and all of a sudden you just get hit with an attack. You got hit with news. Something happened. There's going to be a battle. And now you realize that there's going to be a battle. Let's keep reading and see what happens. Verse 3, Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. And I think what's interesting there is that Jehoshaphat did not ignore his feelings. I think sometimes we go through a test and a trial, and as believers, as Christians, we're like, I'm not supposed to feel fear. I'm not supposed to feel terrified. I'm not supposed to feel afraid. I'm not supposed to feel lonely. But instead, he had those different feelings. And sometimes we suppress and we suppress, no, I'm not supposed to feel that. I'm supposed to walk by faith. But let's see what Jehoshaphat did with those feelings. He was terrified and he begged the Lord for guidance. When you get hit with a test or a trial, are you begging the Lord for guidance when you're terrified or when you're afraid? Or are you too busy trying to figure out the situation without even acknowledging the Lord? I think sometimes we get hit with a test, and I do this, so I'm talking about myself, but we get hit with a test, and we immediately try to figure out in our own natural human reasoning how we're going to figure out this test. We don't even ask the Lord. We're terrified, then we figure it out. But God said, and he says, acknowledge me in all of your ways, even those ways that you have when you're in the middle of a battle. And I will lead and I will direct your path. Will you trust me in the middle of the battle? Will you trust me when you're afraid? Will you trust me when you don't understand? Will you trust me? You get an opportunity to learn to trust God in the middle of a test or a trial. But many of us run back to what is comfortable in the middle of a test or trial because we think it's easier over here. It's easier when I had sex outside of marriage. It's easier when I just looked at this pornography because it feels good to my flesh. It's easier to just go shopping and deal with this thing. It's easier just to just make emotional decisions because I'm terrified, I'm going through this, and I don't know what to do. Let's keep going. Verse 3, Jehoshaphat was terrified by the news, and he begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So all the people from all the towns in Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Do you even care to go through a fast? Are you even thinking in your head, maybe I need to fast and pray and get instructions from God? Like maybe if I fast, because there's something powerful that happens with fasting. When you fast, it's a spiritual thing, because what happens is you're dying to your flesh. You're dying to your fleshly desires. You're dying to what you want to do. When you fast, you're focused on the spiritual. You're not focused on the physical. So they said, we cannot figure out this battle in the physical. We have the three armies coming against us. There's no way. They're going to kill us. They're going to wipe us out. We're terrified. We don't know what to do. And because we don't know what to do, we're going to fast and pray and get instructions from the Lord. Some of us in this generation, we are not patient anymore. We don't even care to sit before the Lord and get instructions. I'll figure it out. And then there's consequences for figuring it out and doing it our own way. And then we're like, God, have you forgotten about me? No, you're not acknowledging him in any of your ways. You're directing your own paths. Let's keep going. So Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem and the new courtyard of the temple, and he just began to pray. He prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. And he's like, if you skip down to verse 12, he said, oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. What are you saying in the midst of the test or trial? Here, he's saying, God, we're powerless against these attacks. Are you saying, why am I going through this test? God don't love me. He doesn't care about me. Why me? I'm living for God. I'm doing the right thing. God doesn't love me. He just put me out here in the middle of the battle. No, He's saying, God, we are powerless against them, but we need you to lead and guide us because we trust that you will and we know that you will. Where's your faith? Where's your faith in the middle of your situation? Where's the faith in the middle of your heartbreak? Where's the faith in the middle of a situation where your life is just rocked and been rocked and it's hard and you don't know what to do? Where's your faith? Let's keep reading. As all of the men stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon the men standing there. His name was Jahaziel, son of Zechariah. And this is what he said. Verse 15, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them, and we will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens up into the wilderness of Jeru. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Don't be afraid or discouraged, but go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Wait, Lord, you mean to tell me, you're telling me to go out in front of the battle? You're telling me to go out in front of the situation? You're telling me to go out when I don't understand? And the thing is, sometimes God tells us to do things that don't make sense in the natural. He told them to go out and to face the battle. And sometimes in our own life, God leads us and he tells us to go do certain things and we don't understand. And it doesn't make sense. And it's hard and it's frustrating. God, you want me to love that person that hurt me so bad? You want me to forgive that person? No. Did they go to Facebook and start talking about how the Moabites came and attacked them? Did they go and, no, instead, Jehoshaphat called these people to come around him. And what I've learned when I was reading that was King Jehoshaphat didn't have the answer to the test, but the person that was in his group had the answer to the test. So it's so important that while you're in the middle of a battle that you have the right people around you. Those people gave him the answer. That person, that man gave him the answer of what to do. He gave him instructions. He told him what to do. He said, we're going to go out and we're going to face him. And there's times in your life where God's going to tell you to go out and face a certain situation. It's going to be hard. You're not going to understand. You're not going to get it. But there is something on the other side. There's breakthrough on the other side if you will be willing to be obedient to whatever God tells you to do. Some of us don't want to be obedient to God. We're too busy trying to figure out our own situation. So if somebody does come with a word from God, then we reject it because naturally it does not make sense. Has God ever told you to do something that just doesn't make sense? You're like, wow, God, that doesn't make any sense. God told me to move to New York City right after college. I said, okay, how's that going to work because I have no money? You know, New York is probably like one of the most expensive places to live. And the Lord said, he's like, will I not provide and take care of you? But will you go and decide to trust me? But God, it doesn't make sense for me to go. I don't have a job. I probably need a job. He's like, actually, I want you to go and work for free. Okay, that makes a whole lot of sense. So you're telling me to go to New York City and go work for a company for free as an intern? You know I have a whole degree. I went to Michigan State University. I have my degree. So I have a whole degree and you're telling me to go work for free? You see, it didn't make sense in the natural. So then I move, I pack up a cargo van like a crazy woman and I move to New York City from Michigan. I'm from like a dirt road, small town in Michigan with like farm animals. I'm a country girl. So I'm like showing up to this big city and I'm here by faith. But there's something, and I'm glad I came here by faith, and there was a lot of battles when I got here. But do you know it was hard? I didn't understand. God sent me to a place to work for free, and it was so difficult. But I knew I had a word from God, and I knew I needed to get in position. And I look up, and I end up, you know, growing mature, and I matured here, and I passed a lot of tests, and it was great, and I'm glad I came. I met my husband here, and I ended up moving to Atlanta. We have our church and everything. But God sent me here for a reason, even though in my natural sense it doesn't make sense. So for Jehoshaphat, he got instructions that didn't make sense, but, verse 18, what was his response? The king Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping God. Now, if we go down to verse 20, this is so interesting. Early in the morning, have you ever been in a test and it just seems like it's the next day? And you're like, oh, that wasn't a dream. Like, I'm still in this. This is so hard, God. But they've gotten their instructions, so now they're moving forward. So they went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. Okay, you mean to tell me that armies are coming to kill us and we're sending the praise team ahead of the army? Like the praise team? Where's the praise team? I know the praise team is like, yeah, praise the Lord. you're going ahead of the army. They have like the ammo. But there was something powerful that happened here. They understood that praising God was much more powerful than any physical mean. Are you praising God in the midst of the battle? Do you have your praise team going on in the midst of the battle, the situation that you're in? And I shared this with the last church, and it's almost like if I lifted a gun right now to you, everybody would drop, especially in this crazy world. We pray for it. Praise the Lord. Lord, heal our land. But if I had a gun like this, everybody would drop because it's a weapon, right? They understood that their praises were a weapon. And we have to understand that we have a weapon in our mouth. If we open up our mouth and we praise God in the midst of our battle, that is much more powerful than anything else that we have going on. Are you willing to open up your mouth and say, thus says the Lord? They sang to the Lord. They sang to him. They sang to him in the middle of the battle. They understood because the weapon they have, it's like turning it toward the devil. And that's why the devil doesn't want you to open up your mouth and say what the Lord says, because he understands that he's going to have to duck down and run when you speak the word. Will you speak the word in the midst of your test or trial? Or are you too busy saying everything else? Why have I been single for 5 years? Everybody else gets a man except me. Why can't I get that job? I work harder than him. Like I tell him how to do his job, and I didn't get the promotion. Why didn't this work out, God? Why didn't that work out? They weren't focused on their enemy. They were focused on the Lord. And sometimes in our walks, we get focused on our situation and on the enemy, and we ignore the Lord altogether. If they did not fast and pray and seek the Lord for instructions, then they would have all got wiped out and killed. They knew that their situation was impossible without God. So when you get hit with a test or trial, you need to open up that weapon of your mouth and use it, because life and death is in the power of your mouth and your words and what you're saying. So some of you in this place might have prayer requests and may say, you know, I want my marriage to be healed, or I just want to be content where I am, or maybe I just need prayer for a family member that's not saved. Are you constantly gossiping and complaining and slandering what you're praying for? That doesn't make sense. 1 minute you're over here praying, and the next minute you're complaining. Instead, let's use our mouths to bring glory to God in the midst of the test. Even my own marriage, if there's something going on in my marriage, I remember this one time I always thought my husband was the problem, not me, because I'm like perfect, right? That's false. But I would go to the Lord and I would tell on my husband. I would. I'd be like, let me tell you about what your son did today. Oh, fix him, change him. So I would go and I would say, and then the Lord showed me, Heather, you're critical and you nag him. What? I'm like perfect. What are you talking about? And it's so crazy because we look at that, at nagging, and we don't look at it like it's a sin. We look at it like, oh, I can complain and I can nag a little bit. I don't know about you, but if you've read about the children of Israel, they got wiped out because of their complaining and their idol worship. But that's what we do. We walk around, we complain, and it's fine. So I was in prayer, and the Lord showed me, in this battle, Heather, that the enemy's trying to wipe out your marriage, you have a part to play. You are nagging and complaining. You need to change. It's not your husband. It's not everybody else. And sometimes we're in the middle of the battle, we're only thinking about ourselves. What about me? It's self-preservation. What about me? But in this battle, Jehoshaphat was like, man, Lord, whatever you want. And I'm going to go out, and we're going to march out here, and we're going to sing praises to you, God. And let's see what happened after that. Verse 22, at the very moment they begin to sing and praise, the Lord calls the armies of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir to start fighting amongst themselves. Do you know your enemies will start fighting amongst each other when you let God take vengeance over that situation? So many times we try to take the vengeance into our own hands and we don't let God work out those problems for us. In verse 23, the armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir, and they killed every one of them. After they destroyed the army of Seir, they began to attack each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, they all saw that all the dead bodies were on the ground for as far as they can see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days just to collect it all. Look at that harvest. The harvest came after their obedience. So many of us want the harvest, but we don't want to go through the process or the journey of, or even walking out to the battle. So many of us quit along the process. I can't fight this battle. It's too hard. I'm just going to give up on this situation. I'm just going to give up on that. I'm not even going to fight this battle. I'm done. I'm tired. I'm finished. I'm good. But instead, do you know there's something on the other side of your obedience? There's something on the other side of it. They saw a harvest after they were obedient to whatever God told them to do. Do you know God has already worked out your situation in this battle that you're going through? But are you willing to fast and pray and get instructions from him to see what he wants you to do? They didn't even have to lift a finger. The only time they had to lift a finger was to go pick up everything that they collected. And some of us are so busy lifting our own fingers in offense, in bitterness, in revenge, in the people that hurt you, the people that talked about you. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. God never called us to come to this earth and just figure out everything ourselves. Instead, with every situation, he said, I will lead you and I will guide you and I will show you what to do. I want to do five quick steps of what to do in the midst of a battle. Number one, fast and pray for instructions. Are you willing to fast and pray for instructions? I mean, in fasting, it'd be simple things like, you know, maybe you only do one meal a day. And the rest of the time when you get hungry, you pull out your word and you feast on the word of God. It might be you put down your social media for a few days until you can get focused to hear the voice of God so you can get instructions from him for yourself. Maybe it's not picking up the phone to tell everybody your problems every time you have a problem, and instead you go and you seek the Lord. It's great that you have community pastors and great pastors, but they're not your God. And sometimes we don't want to take the time to develop a relationship with God for ourselves. So you're just like, tweet me the answer. Just tell me what I need to do. No, it's time for you to go through the battle and mature and develop so you can eat on the meat of the Word of God instead of only being fed milk all day. Yeah. It's time to grow up. It's time to mature. So we fast and pray in the midst of the battle to get instructions on what we're supposed to do. The second one is understand that it's okay to feel a certain way, but it doesn't mean your feelings are the outcome. Have feelings. And I've always said it's okay to have a moment, but just don't unpack and live there. Instead, have your moment and say, all right, Holy Spirit, what do I need to do with these feelings? I'm afraid. I begin to identify them. That's why I open up my mouth and I identify what's going on in my heart. I'm like, all right, Lord, this is how I'm feeling. But I have to understand that greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. My hope is not in this world. I'm not going to seek this world for approval. But instead, Lord, lead and guide me by your Spirit. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to say? Number three, watch what you say. We watch what we say. And I mentioned this earlier. I mean, Jehoshaphat said, God, what do you want me to do? At no point in that scripture did he say, we're all going to die. And sometimes we do this. We go way, we go down the street, around the block, down the corner, to California and back, in our head of everything bad that could happen. And instead, you need to use that and say, you know what? I'm going to have faith that God is going to work out this particular situation for my good. I am going to believe the best. That's what the Bible says, believe the best. And then in 2 Corinthians, it says, you capture every thought that's contrary to God's word by speaking the word over your life. It doesn't say you just say, well, I'm going to die. Everything's going to fall apart. I'm going to not be happy my whole life. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. No. The enemy wants to plant fear in your heart and make you believe that everything is going to fall apart. But are you willing to guard your heart and watch what you say? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Just as I'm speaking to you right here, we have to understand that the enemy would love to speak to you too and plant seeds in your heart and tell you that, man, your life is over. No. This is a battle, and I'm going to fight. The fourth one, praise God through the battle. I always do this in my own house. I turn on worship music. Worship music, the first thing in the morning, I have a smart TV. So I go down, I put it on YouTube, and I type in Jen Johnson, spontaneous worship. That's all I need to hear. And it goes through everybody. Stephanie Gressinger, Carrie Job, it covers everything. So I let it play for about maybe, literally until I go to bed that night. And it's just playing. Our children are homeschooled, so they just hear that worship music playing all day long. Because I understand that the enemy is going to come and bring attacks to me throughout the day. And I need to make sure that my mindset is prepared for the attacks that come my way. Are you praising God through the situations that you're going through? And some of you guys on your job, you need to might take a bathroom break and go into the bathroom and have a moment with the Lord. God, I just worship you. Yes, I don't understand the situation. Yes, I don't know what's going on, but God, I trust you. I know that you're with me. I know that you're for me. I know you're not against me. I love you, God. I will worship your holy, holy, holy name, God. I love you, God, and I trust you. The thing is, if you practice this in your everyday life, when the attacks come, you're going to be like, oh, I know what this is. I'm going to seek the Lord for instructions. He's going to show me what to do. But sometimes we only seek God when we're in a battle. But we forget that God's been there even when days were great. Oh, God, everybody talks about prayer when there's a great disaster, but have you been praying this whole time? Do you even know God? Or do you just use him like he's a genie in a bottle? God, give me this answer, this prayer. No, he's like, I want your heart. I want all of you. I want to know you. I care about you. I created you. I called you for such a time as this. So we're praising God through the battle. And I said this in the other service. I was saying that if you're struggling in a certain area, turn on some worship music. You're not going to look at that pornography long if Hillsong's in the background. You're not going to look at that pornography if you're hearing spontaneous worship. You're not going to get in that bed with that person you know you're not supposed to be with if you got worship playing in the background. You're not going to cuss out that coworker if you got worship playing it on your computer, because you're working on something. That's the thing, you're working on something. I don't have time to let my feelings lead and guide my life instead. I'm going to let that worship music play in my heart. You have to start praising God, and sometimes you might not have the words to do it, but if you have that worship and those sermons going in your heart, then you're like, you know what, I'm going to get through this. I'm not going to keep going around this mountain over and over again like the children of Israel. I'm amazed by Jehoshaphat's story because, hey, after a few days, the battle was over. Do you know how much his faith grew? It's so powerful. His faith grew through that situation. But the children of Israel went around that mountain for 40 years. And it was a 11-day journey? Are you going around the mountain of your situation? I'm still in this battle. I've been in this battle for 7 years. Have you even asked the Lord what to do, how to get out of it? There's something he wants you to learn in the midst of the battle. He wants to teach you something. He wants to mature and grow your faith. And the last one is guard your heart. Guard your heart. What are you listening to? As I mentioned earlier, as I'm ministering to you right now, you have to understand that we live in these bodies, but we are spirit beings, and we possess a soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. But because this is it's spiritual, we live in the physical, you have to understand when I say something to you, a word is being planted in your heart. The same way you listen to television and music and things that you watch and things that you see, words are being planted in your heart. If somebody's coming along to tell you, you got people around you in your life, they're like, you're nothing. You'll never be anything. Those words are getting planted in your heart. You have to protect your heart. I'm sorry, but I can't. That's not what we're going to do. I'm sorry, I love you, but you can't speak to me that way. I need to put boundaries up in this relationship because you're speaking death to me, and I need you to speak life. And if you're not willing to speak life, it's okay. I can speak life to myself. I can stir myself up in the Lord, but I need to protect myself and put a guard up around myself because I have to guard myself because I'm in the middle of a battle in my life, and I don't have time to have other soldiers in my life that are on the opposing team. Like, I'm sorry, you're an Amorite and you're coming against me. And you know what? I need to make sure that I guard my heart. So what are you watching? What are you listening to? You're having a rough day. It's not time for Netflix and chill. It's not. It's time for you to get on your face and spend time with the Lord. It's great that we have an altar here, but go build one at home. I have a place in my room. I have a prayer room where I go and I just like lay out before the Lord. And I'm like, Lord, teach me your ways. Just speak to me. Show me what I need to do. You have to guard your heart from social media. If you're in the middle of a battle, this is not the time to go on social media and compare your life to everybody else's life. It's not the time. Instead, in our own life, we have to say, okay, if I'm in a battle, I have to understand that the enemy is coming to attack me. And because he's coming to attack me, I have to make sure that I guard my heart. I have to make sure that I'm fasting and I'm praying. I have to make sure that I understand that, hey, I feel this way, but this feeling is not my outcome. I have to understand that, you know, I'm going to watch what I say, and I'm going to praise God through the midst of this situation. I'm not going to go to the club and hang out. I'm not going to drink until I can't think anymore. Instead, I'm going to finally pass this test. And I think if we can be honest in our own lives, sometimes we just keep going. And I know I used to be that person where I would just go around that mountain over and over again. I wanted so bad to see what the calling of God was for my life. God told me that he called me to preach 9 years before I saw a stage. Do you know how long that period was? It was pretty hard. I worked on Wall Street. I even hosted on TRL. I did certain things along the way. I know, random. I worked at Universal Music Group. I did all these different things. But I knew in the back of my head, God, you've called me to do this thing, but I don't know how I'm supposed to get there. Do you know that it's been a series of battles to get to the place where I'm at today? But you have to understand that the battles that I experienced over here strengthened and matured me for the battles that I experienced over here. What used to bother me over here does not bother me over here. You can talk about me. You can say anything crazy about me. But honey, do you know I've been tested so bad over here? I've been bashed at church over here. I've been talked about. There have been blogs written about me. People have started rumors about me. But it doesn't matter because I know that God has called me and the battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's. Vengeance is the Lord's. It's been a journey of 9 years before I saw stage. Do you know how hard it was? Do you know how many times I wanted to quit over here? Do you know how many times I wanted to give up? I mean, I knew he called me to do it, but I'm first generation preacher. Who is going to invite me to their church? God, nobody knows me. How is this going to happen? How, Lord? But if we can be honest in this place, if you're seeking God for your purpose and you're like, Lord, reveal it to me, show it to me, he will finish what he started in you. And I said to the Lord, I'm never going to go to anybody and be like, I need to come and preach at your church. I've been called. No. God, if you've called me, you will tell people to invite me. That's it. But over here, I wasn't ready for what I'm going through over here. And Jehoshaphat needed to go through that battle. And you need to go through some battles in your own life because what it does is it prepares you, it prunes you, It softens your heart. It makes you compassionate. It makes you loving. It makes you understanding. It gives you the heart of God. So then when you're over here publicly walking in what he's specifically called you to do here on this earth, you understand so much along the journey. Sometimes instead of saying, God, why am I going through this test? Why me? Instead, just say, God, if you have brought this test to me, there is a reason. and I am going to trust you. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to ask you what to do, and I'm going to wait for those instructions, even if those instructions take longer than I think they should be. There's this one time I needed leading and guiding from the Lord, and I said, Lord, I'm going to sit here all weekend long until you speak to me. I'm not going to eat anything. I'm going to sit here with my water, and I'm going to pray and seek you. After about 8 hours, God told me to get up and go eat. I was like, so that's the word you gave me? Get up and go eat? Fine. So I went up and ate, because God requires obedience. Sometimes we turn stuff. So I went up and I got eat, and I went back and I sat down. And I'm like, God, I declare you, speak to me. Show me what to do in this situation. He said, be still and know that I am God. What does that mean? He said, just rest. He said, cast your care on me because I care for you. I will show you what to do in this situation. Do you not trust me? Heather, how many years are we going to go around this mountain of trust? At some point, you must recognize that I have rescued you so many times. Will I not rescue you again? So now, I remember when 2011 hit and my husband and I got tested really, really bad. We had a miscarriage. 3 people close to me died. I lost my truck. We lost everything. We were in this tiny little one-bedroom apartment, and God called us to preach. You called us to preach. You stripped us from, it seemed like, everything in that season. But I needed to go through that test. And right after that test, immediately our ministry started. And it was like a snowball effect. It just like exploded out of nowhere. But these tests and trials and these battles that I experience, you see, it humbles you. And it makes you so dependent, and it makes you recognize that it's God alone that calls you, and he'll equip you, and he'll lead you, and he'll guide you. And so when people come along the way and try to hurt you, they come along the way to say mean things to you, things happen in your life, in the back of your head, you always know this truth. The battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's. And he will accomplish, and he will finish what he started in me. My job is not to fight the battle. My job is to be obedient to whatever God is telling me to do. I do not have to lift a finger. Holy Spirit, show me what to do. Lead and guide me. If that means I need to march out to that battle and be obedient to you, even though it doesn't make sense, even though it's crazy, even though you're telling me to do this thing and I don't understand, if you're telling me to do it, there is fruit on the other side of this. There's a harvest. And I wonder how many harvests we have missed out on because of our disobedience. How many times have God instructed us to do something, but we just brush it off? Just not going to do it. It doesn't take all that. I don't have to live for Jesus for real. No, he wants my whole life. He wants my whole heart. I declare that this church will win every battle that comes their way. I declare that this church will not be lukewarm. This church will not try to figure out the battles themselves in their own lives, but instead they will seek the Lord on instructions of what to do. And when those feelings rise up, you say, I'm not going to be led by those. I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for this church. I thank you for these precious pastors and the founding pastors. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for every member, every volunteer. I pray for the word that I've sown today, Lord. I thank you, God, that we fight these battles spiritually, not physically. I thank you, Lord, that you lead and you guide us, and we recognize that the battle is not ours, and that because we live in a physical world, it's fine, but it's a spiritual fight. We fight not against flesh and blood. So I pray, Lord, that we give all of our cares, all of our battles, all of our worries to you, Lord, and I pray that we're obedient to whatever you're telling us to do. So we just thank you for this precious time now, and we just honor you, Jesus, and we just love you so much. I pray that this church just has a heart for you. Give them a brand new hunger for your word, God. I pray that when they wake up early, that you will wake them up early, and they will have a desire to immediately fall to their knees and open up their word and pray and just pour their hearts out to you. I thank you, God, for revival in New York City. In Jesus' name, amen.